The voice of one crying the wilderness. Prepare the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. The voice of one crying the wilderness. Prepare the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. The voice of one crying.
Hallelujah. Can we lift our hands everywhere?
We're gathered here. Father, Lord, we pray. Would you please draw near, we say. Come have your way, Father, today.
We're your family. You called us, you chose us, you drew us, you've kept us. We appreciate you. We thank you for your times and seasons. We thank you for the times and seasons. We thank you for the things you've put us through. Thank you for experience. Thank you, Father God, for increase, instruction, ability. We thank you, Father, for understanding. We thank you for embracing us. Father, we thank you. Father, we thank you. Father, we thank you. Thank you for transformation from inside. Thank you for making true to us the things we once heard about. We have heard of you with the hearing of our ears, but now we've come to see you. We've come to know you beyond the surface. We've come to understand the kingdom we have been called to a bit more than before. Father, we've chosen to say, we've come to realize that you, Adonai, the Lord God Almighty, our good God, you are patient, you are long-suffering, you are born with us, you have extended your goodness, your strength, your wisdom and skill. We are partakers in all of it. We rejoice in your goodness. We delight in your mercy.
Oh, we delight in your mercy, Jesus. Oh, we delight in your grace. We delight in your face. Thank you, Father.
Thank you for strength.
Put your hand on us. your children.
Do more than we've asked or imagined, dear God.
We lift our hands to the Lord God. We're open, Lord God, to your word. All the many things we can afford, Lord, you can.
The blood of Jesus can afford
every single thing we've done. It's not strong enough to break the bond. Father, Lord God, you're the only one. You gave to us your only begotten Son to have it done. You can afford the price you became for us, a sacrifice. Father, send us the truth. We renounce the lies that we have believed. Our Lord, he paid the price. Oh, he became for us a living sacrifice to help us be wise. Oh, 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 oh. No more will we believe. We won't believe the lies. The devil is telling us. Said that he paid the price. He became a one who is a sacrifice. By his blood we know now the things that are just lies. Oh. So we default to the blood. We default to the blood. Come before him. We default to the blood. We default to the blood.
Shadabagu satati lagada. Judges chapter 15. Yesterday I began to read it and don't go beyond the first verse. Let's see how far we can go today. What is the wheat harvest? What's the season we are in? How does it apply to us? I'll just give you a few pointers. Genesis 30 verse 14. Now, when it was time to harvest wheat, change the translation. Now, during the wheat harvest, Reuben went out and found some mandrakes in the field. When he brought them to his mother, Rachel begged Leah, "Please give me some of your son's mandrakes." But Leah replied, "Is it not enough that you have taken away my husband? Now you won't take my son's mandrakes as well?" "Very well," said Rachel. "He may sleep with you tonight in exchange for your son's mandrakes." When Jacob came in from the field that evening, Leah went out to meet him and said, "You must come with me, for I have hired you with my son's mandrakes." So he slept with her that night. And God listened to Leah, and she conceived and bore a fifth son to Jacob. Then Leah said, "God has rewarded me for giving my maidservant to my husband." So she named him Isaac. Isaac was born due to a transaction executed during the wheat harvest. Isaac delights in his tent. Isaac delights in his tent. Zebulun delights in his going out. Isaac is the one who knows what Israel ought to do. Isaac knows times and seasons. Isaac is the fruit of a union transacted during the times of harvest of wheat. Ruth 2 verse 23. As God wills, we may come back here. So Ruth stayed close to the servant girls of Boaz to glean grain until the barley and wheat harvests were finished. 1 Samuel 6 verse 13. Now the people of Beth Shemesh were harvesting wheat in the valley, and when they looked up and saw the ark, they were overjoyed at the sight. As they were harvesting wheat, they looked up, and there was the presence of God approaching. That which they had lost was restored. The ark had been lost in the time of Hophni and Phinehas. The sons of Eli, the high priest, were put to death. Eli died also. A lot of disaster happened. A lot of sorrow. One day, four people in that family died. Not just the priest's family. 30,000 Israelites died. And the ark of God was taken. And here you are. While they are harvesting wheat, the ark returns. Not because they did anything, but as they obeyed God and planted, in the time of their harvesting, they got more than they bargained for. They didn't just get a wheat harvest. They got a restoration of the presence of God. Are you understanding this? Know these things because they are important for some of what will come later. Matthew 13, verse 24. Jesus put before them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like a man who sowed good seed in his field. But while everyone was asleep, his enemy came and sowed weeds among the wheat and slipped away. Doesn't tell you he sowed only wheat. It tells you he sowed good seed. He sowed good seed. The seed he sowed sprouted. However, among the wheat company is the church. The overcomer company is barley. Barley separates easily from its chaff, more easily than wheat. Wheat has a stronger attachment to its fleshly nature. Grapes have total attachment to their fleshly nature. Among the wheat, the enemy planted weeds. When the wheat sprouted and bore grain, then the weeds also appeared. As the time went on, and the wheat was no more young, and it started producing fruit, that is when it was observed. What is this other thing? What is this it is producing? You may have heard me say that it is better to get born again and be sure you are born again than to continue to claim I am born again when the fruit you produce keeps being extremely weedy. I believe I shared some of that again just on Sunday. Maybe first service. I'm not sure. You should find out. And since, of course, most of you wouldn't have been there, make sure you listen to the message so you have no excuse. I spoke about how you can be in church. It's not more than 2 weeks, sometime between the last 2 weeks. How you can mistakenly think you're born again. It is far better. It is far better. You know, all this inherited Christianity some of us have. All that. It is far better you stopped and redid. What's the worst you can be? The worst you can be is wrong. And I don't say that God will punish you. If a couple are not too sure they married properly, what do they do? Have you seen people get with grown children coming to celebrate something? Who has ever quarreled with it? What quarrel can arise from it? None. Only good can come from it. So you saw, even if you are totally married, but you're just confused, we will still eat your rice and be happy with you. The angels cannot complain. We don't like this kind of thing. What kind of thing? Why will you come back and be rededicating? In case it's not a rededication, in case it's a dedication, in case you're just beginning, again, find the message.
Someone ought to have been telling me which message it was. I just shared it. Sunday, Wednesday, I don't know. This Sunday, first service. Get the message and listen to it. If I ask how many of you have not listened to it, you see so many hands go up now. Some of you, that's your undoing. It was said, those that are members that have been here for up to 6 months, a year, don't come on Sunday mornings. Let's focus on the new people. There's not enough space. It's not because of the space, but because the Spirit of God told us, go out, go out. He said, go out. We strove to obey. Go and share my word. He said, Fridays is when we come together. That's our time. The rest of the time, go out and do the Father's will. Go and plant. Go and seek. Spread the truth you have found. All of that. That's why you're not here always. Of course, I'm tempted as a person at every time to say, no, come, come. But it doesn't work that way. And I repeat, even if so, there's not even enough space. But the undoing of many of you is that you don't go on to obey. Those messages are always uploaded within about 24 hours, or less, far less. The raw thing is given. You don't even wait for it to be prepared on the hall. And some of you don't listen to it. Some of you, you're backlog, and you think you have problems yet. The backlog you have, it looks impossible that you catch up. And you are this person without proper seed. Even between you're deep in the word, seeking God's face, worshiping, then one could say. But many times you're not. So you're not getting the prepared food for free. Neither are you preparing food for yourself to eat. Therefore, you are weak and starving. And every time the enemy shows up, he kicks you in the head. And then you talk about how this and how that. And this is not a new thing. What I'm saying now has been said repeatedly. You don't have a heart full of rocks, hardness, and somehow expect, what are you looking for? Don't be unrealistic. You've asked God for mercy. But I hope you are hearing the words. How are you going to be planted amongst rocks? And you want magic. What magic do you want to happen? Forget it. Just get ready to be impoverished if you don't change your ways. You will have to unearth the rocks, the rock that is you. And be careful, because the husbandman is waiting for fruit, is waiting for harvest. When he shows up and you produce a teaspoon of harvest, don't act surprised. There's no surprise. Every skill taught you on how to remove rocks from your soil. All the things that create the rocks that you break. In as I spray. I mean, boulders. What do you want? What kind of magic? Who plants corn on stone? How do you want it to work? And then you foolishly, I don't know which one is worse, that you expect a harvest. From where? A harvest of the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, goodness, meekness, temperance. From where? Harvest of people, souls for the Lord. How? So you look at your land, nothing seems to be sprouting, barely. Are you wondering why? Stop wondering. I repeat, I don't know which one is worse, that you are wondering. What? How can you wonder? What did you do to expect a crop? Through corn, seeds, on stone. I think that's the more annoying part. Don't, at least, just say, I know I've done nothing, I expect nothing. At least there's honesty. Before you to say, I don't even know why. You don't know what. You know, someone can be blind. Or someone can be dumb, can't speak. Or someone can be deaf. Then someone may have all those things working and be stupid. But when you pack blindness, deafness, stupidity, all pack, only you, what are you looking for? How does that work? Even if your senses are not working properly, spiritual senses, don't add foolishness to it. It's time for harvest. The scriptures say, the enemy came while everyone was asleep. Verse 25. And sowed weeds among the wheat. Sowed weeds among the wheat while everyone slept. You think sleep is not neutral. Sleep is bad. If there was no sleeping, when the enemy came, they'll say, who are you? What are you doing there? What is that in your hand? Oh, you came here to destroy the crop. They would have attacked him. They would have taken out the enemy and there would have been no growth of wheat. But because we tend to sleep, we tend to lower our guard. What happens when you are asleep? You're unaware. You are unaware of reality. Every time we are not alert, the opposite of sleep, it says watch and pray. Are you sleeping? Watch and pray. The word watch means to be alert, attentive. That's the opposite of sleep. Attentiveness to detail. Who goes there? Who is there? Yes, what's the password? The password is alligator. And the guy says thrombosis. God, arrest that man. And that's when they check and see he has a bag of weed. Weeds. He came to destroy the crop. Create the impression of a harvest, of fullness. Came to create a false impression, deceptive harvest. So that when you come and say, yes, we are going to have something good. I look forward to a season of fruitfulness. As we come, expecting something to happen, expecting goodness, we are going to get there and we'll discover that, oh, it was a bush. That fullness, that greenery you stood and saw was emptiness. Was empty. God knows all these things. He also knows that it can be prevented. Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane went, the enemy is coming. So he got ready. He watched and he prayed. And when the enemy came, he was ready. He couldn't conquer him. You think the devil conquered Jesus? Never. Those who trust in him shall not be moved. They shall not be ashamed. But on the flip side, those who were asleep, what happened? The Bible tells you they ran. Peter who tried to stand, you know how that ended. People, things don't just happen. People disobey God. Then things happen. People disobey God. Someone disregards an instruction. God says, watch and pray. And we say, sleep and sleep. You're not going to be sleeping when you should be awake and watching. And somehow, things will go as you desire. No. There's a price to pay. The weakness we go through a lot of the time can simply be countered with a little effort, acts of obedience. The scriptures tell us that it says, when the wheat sprouted and bore grain, then the weeds also appeared. The owner's servant came to him and said, sir, didn't you sow good seed in your field? Where then did the weeds come from? An enemy did this. We have an enemy. He's real. It's not theoretical. Ah, no, well, he's just a great cosmic mind. No, his name is Satan. He does things. You know, I keep emphasizing it. That they, see, listen, demons are not just walking around. Well, you tempt them, me, I go tempt them. Just random spirits as you're going through life. You know. Me, I take him. Say, you know, me, I take him, you take her. Mm, oh, they now fight. Damn, yeah. Boy, how far? Pictures. Bad pictures. See, be tempted. This one comes and say, aren't you hungry? Take something. Take something that does not belong to you. See something to take. That must be a sign that you saw it now. Means God has provided. It's not random demons that harass you. Most of them are assigned demons. If only your mind will understand that you are someone's employment. You are a job. If we can understand that there are specific spirits, and one of the ways, just look at the areas where you keep being attacked. Well, if you understand that there's a specific attempt on your life. Ah, do you see something almost just hits me? Wow, was that a bullet? Dear God, that was a bullet. A stray bullet. Do you know? A stray bullet almost hit me. You come back to, oh God, God is good. I agree a stray bullet may come your way. What I don't understand is if in the last 3 months, 7 stray bullets almost hit you, you still think it is a stray bullet? Do you think it's a stray bullet? Only you in this world, stray bullets. No, that bullet is not stray. That bullet is assigned. Are you understanding me? That's not a stray bullet. Someone is trying to assassinate you. Say, the guy was lucky. You know, the engine just exploded. Thank God he escaped. God is good, though. Just by chance. It's not by chance. How can he by chance? Only you. Come this world. You are a job. You are a mark, they say in assassination terms. Someone has assigned someone to take you out. What does wisdom dictate? That you take precautions. That's what wisdom would demand of you. You do something about it. You walk around with armory. You get an armor-plated vehicle. You, come on, you do something. You disguise yourself. You stay low. Surround yourself with bodyguards. You do something. Spiritually, you can afford this thing. This is not physical takeout. This is spiritual. Spiritually, you can afford it. You can apply for it. You can have it. You can get extra security. But you must pay the price. And it's not that hard. The blood of Jesus acquires all these things for us. Now, you must arise and make use of it. That's how it works. Scriptures say, so the servants asked him, after they found that it was an enemy that had done it. Sir, didn't you sow good seed in your field? Where then did the weeds come from? Our enemy did this. So the servants asked him, do you want us to go and pull them up? No, he said, if you pull the weeds now, you might uproot the wheat with them. Hear me carefully, I'm about to fly. You might uproot the wheat with them if you go to pull them up as they are sprouting. They are beginning to come out like that. Let both grow together. Until the harvest. So harvest seasons mark when certain things that God seems to have overlooked will no longer be overlooked. Mark my words. At that time, I will tell the harvesters. When? At the time of the harvest, I will tell the harvesters, first, collect the weeds. And tie them in bundles to be burned. Then gather the wheat into my barn. First, collect the weeds. As you're pulling, when the time comes, that which was formerly overlooked will no longer be so, and they will be dragged out. They will be categorized, and they will be kept for burning, for punishment. We want to know what that means? The interpretation is here. Verse 36, then Jesus dismissed the crowds and went into the house. His disciples came to him and said, explain to us the parable of the weeds in the field. He replied, the one who sows the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world. And the good seed represents the sons of the kingdom. The good seed are the sons of the kingdom. Remember, interpretation of parables or prophetic mysteries can have more than one meaning. Jesus is giving the exact meaning of this parable he meant, but you can extrapolate because in this same chapter, he gave the other parable of a man who sowed seed, four kinds of soil. The scriptures tell you about four kinds of soil. So we can know that the seed are the sons of the kingdom, but we can also understand that seed can be the word of God. You can take that parable and pull out something and say, in your heart, after God plants good seed, the enemy can come to plant bad seed. Yes? But more specifically, he's referring to the seed here. Let's see. The field is the world. And the good seed represents the sons of the kingdom. The weeds are the sons of the evil one. So evil ones were planted amongst the sons of the kingdom. Is this clear? These are people. Take note. According to the Lord Jesus, these are people. The enemy who sows them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the age. So when will he tell them separate the end of the age? That's how patient. James 5 tells you that the husbandman patiently waits. That's how patient God is. Waiting till the end of the age to start to separate. That's why, hear me and hear me well. So, you know, every once in a while, the other day I was just pondering how sometimes, I was wondering if some of these things I tell you guys about the end of the age coming, about how there's going to be manifestations of lots of the old gods and things like that. I wonder if it scares you. I was wondering, oh wow, maybe I shouldn't say much of it anymore because you might be afraid. You might be so afraid that you say, you know what, let me turn away and let me stay away. I don't want to be hearing these things. It makes me afraid. Then I now thought on the other hand that you're being afraid and preparing, or you're having no fear and dying very quickly. Which one makes more sense? Is it not fear that will make you go and start stockpiling weapons, stockpiling food, building your fortresses, getting ready? But lack of knowledge will achieve nothing. You'll do nothing. So when the enemy comes in like a flood, it will succeed. It will sweep you away. But if you had a clue, you would be prepared. The end of the age is a time of harvesting. If you know a little history, you will know that all sorts of things have happened in the body of Christ since Jesus died. So many things have happened in this world. There are so many wicked seeds that the devil has planted. At different times in history, even amongst true servants of God, the devil will plant one funny idea in their head. They will say it. The thing will now become official policy. I'll give you a quick example. Genesis 6. And the sons of God went into the daughters of men, and they bare children. These are the Giborim, the giants, the mighty men of renown, of old. Augustine of Hippo, the one known as Saint Augustine, showed up and said, oh, that refers to the sons of Seth. Seth, the son of Abraham, of Adam, that was had in the place after Abel died. The sons of God, there is Seth. sons of, the daughters of men are the daughters of Cain. Yours truly. That's what the church has believed from then till now. You think when the thing I tell you is normal belief? Not normal, anything. So when he said that a few hundred years from after the Lord Jesus died, and other things he said, it became official policy. And I've told you before, St. Augustine is a major influence in all church groups, not Catholic. His teachings on the like Protestantism or like that. These are amongst the top revered 2-3 most respected people in all the, that the members don't know doesn't mean anything. You know, there are many things you don't know. I told you, there are many things you believe. It didn't come from the Bible. Definitely not. When you look at it, many things, simple things. Repentance from the devil, faith towards God, baptisms, resurrection of the dead, laying of hands. You should know. You know many of those things for the first time in your life. You heard it here. But church has been here. Officially, all over this world, there are so many things believed that there was an argument in the year 300 and something, 400 and something. There was an argument. People got together, bishop, they talk, they argue, they call them councils. People, some money moves hands. People pay people. You know, you can talk, you represent our side, like employing the services of a lawyer. And they come and stand and talk. They are the ones that whatever you give them, they will say. You tell them what to say. How do you know? Because you look at some of them, their writings, they believed a certain way. Picture this man. He has written 3 books, holding a certain position. Then suddenly he writes a 4th book, saying the opposite of what he has said in the first 3 books. Without explanation, as though he's not the one that wrote the first 3. Who switches like that? Because someone has a quarrel with another person and says that we are going to attack him, or that you are the one, you're the right. So this is the position I want you to hold. And these are the ways that many things that came to become normal in the body of Christ came to be. Not because it's scriptural, because the moment you see, and the way it works is this. You presume it's scriptural till you check. How many of you have found out you thought? You knew. You were sure, sir. But you have found out, eh? Since you searched, you're still searching. Raise your hand. If you don't raise your hand, I wonder. You're either when you haven't read your Bible, you haven't been paying attention here. If you have no opinion of anything. I was praying for a first time on Sunday. I don't think that has ever happened. And as I was praying, after I stopped, I said, what's your question? I have no question. I said, what is your question? Nothing. Nothing. Everything you say, I understood. What is your question? Tochi, you should remind me of what she said. Can you remember well? And how it ended.
She said that the message, she understood what pastor had preached, and that she had been asking herself a certain question that pastor addressed towards the end. The pastor said, what is that thing? She said she used to wonder how new Christians are able to pull down principalities, that she didn't think it was okay, but that after he said it, she will now think about it well and go and pray about it and ask the Holy Spirit to talk to her more. Then you went on to ask her, so is she baptized in the Holy Spirit? She said no. Then you said, which Holy Spirit did she want to ask to explain it to her more?
All right, thank you. But the point is, so it was funny that she's continuing from where we were. He's continuing from where we, it's not that first part I said happened before we got there. I have no question. How long did she take? You know, I keep telling you, God likes people. I'm telling you. I understand why men of God don't try to listen to God too much. You see, if you're here for service, first service or second service, you see me come up by 2:30. Throughout, I was praying for people. Sometimes 5 people, sometimes 10, yes, but why that long? Why would I take 1.5 hours? Why? Because some of them, as the Holy Spirit just begins to preach a new sermon, they just begin to say one thing after another. And they can waste your time too. They'll be busy telling lies. Nothing. Dear God, 32. Oh God. 32 minutes. One person. My waist will be paining me like this. Standing. Instead of just being honest. And you hear the way Sister Tochi said it. That's how. Said it. There's something I've always been wondering. And then, because that's what, as I was preaching, I began to answer, you know, while I was preaching here. Then I go down there and I ask her, what's your question? And it turns out that even though I've explained it, she still didn't believe it. Even though it answered are you understanding? That's what stones do. When you throw seed into a place that is not soft, it can't take root. So the stones must be gotten rid of. Last Friday, I think I used the analogy of a tree with fruit, that you must go for the root. I'm using the analogy of a stone now. Those who seek to help their brothers or sisters that are in error, stop trying to get rid of the fruit of their foolishness. If you don't go for the rocks, you must go for the rocks. Stop sprinkling more seed. Stop throwing more seed, talking more. If you tell them, come, let's identify the stones. And then you say, oh yeah, come, add hand. Let me help you carry these stones out of your life. And they say no. Walk away. Did you hear me? What? Maybe you didn't understand the fruit and root. You should understand this one. Why do you join someone and plant their land that is full of rocks? What do you want? Amongst other things, you're deceiving them. And that's not right. You should know it will not grow. That's not hope you're having. So pause. I know you love people, but add wisdom to passion. Don't have zeal without knowledge. Rocks must be removed. The rocks must go. Any person that said, no, leave my rocks alone. Don't waste your time or their time. They love rocks. Let them eat rocks. Leave them. You don't join and say, okay, give me some seed. And you join and you're throwing seeds. The birds of the air, that's demons, according to Jesus' interpretation, will eat up all of those seeds. And you'd have just wasted all your effort. Bible says, don't speak to a fool. You don't be wasting your words. Deal with the rocks. It is because, and this has tampered with our ability to harvest, it's because we often are in a haste, or we come in and I used to be like that. You are embarrassed about addressing things. It is far better you spend 3 days, 1 week, discussing rocks and how to get rid of them than hurrying in. What? Ah, sister, brother. Oh yeah, let's deal with your matter. And, you know, okay, so I came to talk to you. I've heard that, you know, there's a struggle. So I'm talking to you now, You know what? You talk. See. The word of God says the word of God. Seed all over. You soak the land with seed. You walk away. Seed sitting on top. It's a matter of, let's wait some minutes. Depends on how many beds are available. Everything you've said is wasted. Should have even dropped a seed. Should have stopped first. Pray, look for, Lord, help us identify the rocks. Get the machinery required. Spiritual machinery. Assess. Rock here. Very little soil here. No soil here. Rock here. Take time. I say take a week. Just checking for rocks. Shepherds, are you hearing me? Find the rocks. If they won't stay still for you to find the rocks, if they won't be honest and tell you where the rocks are, leave them alone to their folly. When you have found the rocks, tell them, are you willing for us to unearth these rocks? Then move them. This is where two are better than one, and the threefold cord is not easily broken. Assist them. Get the equipment needed. Don't expect it to look neat. Stop trying to remove rocks neatly. Who has removed a rock from the ground before? Did he leave a gaping hole? Later on, it will be filled up. No! I can never give up. Bye-bye. If you don't get rid of the rocks, I'm not planting a seed. Cannot be wasting grain. You know seed is bread too. It gives seed to the sower and bread to the eater. That grain I would have wasted here would have made a few loaves of bread. I'll not waste bread. I'm not saying that someone may not have soil and there are a few rocks. I'm not saying you get rid of every rock at once. Rock moving is hard work. I'm saying if someone doesn't even want to, you've identified the major rocks other and they don't want to touch it. You say, no, I can't too. Then you go on trying to, what are you trying to do? Leave them alone. Don't deceive them. As time goes on, someone says, my life seems to have stopped. Find out the rocks. Why did it stop? The harvest is the end of the age. So I was giving you a hint about a lot of what will be gathered together in the end of the age. You're going to see groups and all sorts of things form. Things I've warned you about. Belief systems. Things thought. Practices. Things said. More and more of such things will come into being. And people will go along with them. That's the weeds being gathered and bundled together. Are you listening? They'll be bundled together. Be careful which bundle you are part of. Be careful which bundle you are part of, because it's in bundles they will bond them. Be careful. A lot of what you've heard preached in this house is not just plain, it's prophetic plus scripturally specific. The bundlings are for burning purposes or for barn purposes. You'll be burned or you'll be burned. You'll be taken to the barn or you'll be taken to be burned. One or the other. But all of them will be gathered. You better be moving closer and closer to those that are going into the barn. Because if you're close with those that are going to be burned, what do you expect? Let's read what Jesus said. The Son of God, and the harvesters are angels, messengers, angelus. As the weeds are collected and burned in the fire, so will it be at the end of the age. It says at the end of the age that the burning with fire will come. The lake of fire is a place kept for burning weeds. The Son of Man will send out his angels and they will weed out of his kingdom every cause of sin and all who practice lawlessness. Listen to me, everyone. Who are the sons of the evil one? Every cause of sin. Let me explain. The people that cause other people to sin. Listen clearly. He will weed out of his kingdom every cause. Now, there are reasons for sin. There's general reasons. Oh, pornography makes people sin. This makes people sin. Those are causes of sin. He will remove it from his body. But people also cause people to sin. People also cause people to sin. People are causes of stumbling to many. You do not want to be the reason people stumble. Are you hearing me? I've always warned us about this. I don't think many of us take it as seriously as we should. The scripture saying, James 2, we all stumble in many ways. In other words, here and there, you fall short a little here, a little there. You may not be aware. It may not be what you call a big deal, but we fall short in different ways. But I've always told you, do your best never to drag someone down as you're falling. I don't know why some of us find that hard. Never make another person fall with you. Why? If you fall alone, it's one flogging. If you drag two people down, you will get double or triple or whatever. Don't pull people down. The consequences are a bit too serious. You don't want to be the reason anyone falls. You do not want to be. It's too serious. The Lord Jesus said that people will stumble in this world, but woe to you if people stumble because of you. Yes? You read that before? Said it is better a stone were tied around your neck and you were thrown into the depths of the sea. You don't let people fall. When you make people fall, you become complicit. You become responsible. Luke 17, he said to his disciples, it is inevitable that stumbling blocks come. Are you listening? But woe to him through whom they come. It is inevitable that stumbling blocks come. But woe to him through whom they come. It would be better for him if a millstone were hung around his neck and he were thrown into the sea than that he would cause one of these little ones to stumble. Listen to me carefully. We often think that that place means that if you make someone to stumble, you'll be thrown into the sea. I'll give you a few seconds to process. That place does not say that if you cause others to stumble, you will be thrown into the sea. He said it's better they threw you into the sea. In other words, what will happen to you is worse than having a stone tied around your neck and you're thrown into the sea. I hope you understand. Now, I don't know what that thing is. Okay, but I think we can see Matthew 13. What do you think follows? Be on your guard. Now, who is he talking about? The one who causes the little ones to stumble. Listen, when a big one stumbles, the one who knows enough knows better and they choose to stumble. That's their problem. I don't think this passage is talking about you. It's the little ones, the ones that are new, the ones that are young in the ways of God. Those are the ones you must not be a stumbling block to. And look at what he says. Clarifying the point. Be on your guard. If your brother sins, rebuke him. So you see how stumbling comes about. That your brother sins and you don't rebuke him is enough to make him stumble. If your brother sins, rebuke him. And if he repents, forgive him. In other words, how are you forgiving him? It means that that sin he was talking about in some instances is against you. And it's not just talking about an individual. It's talking about a church group too. And you have someone in your midst sinning. Rebuke him. Rebuke her. If they repent, That means they must repent to be forgiven. And what happens with people who you try to ask for forgiveness for who have not repented? You can answer for yourself. And if he sins against you 7 times a day and returns to you 7 times saying, I repent, forgive him. That means even if he messes up repeatedly, show him mercy. That always be willing to forgive a sinner. That's the instruction. So that sinner will never say God was not extremely merciful. The wahala is when they don't repent. In this church, I've tried to forgive people that were unrepentant. It doesn't work out well in the long run. Many times, actually sometimes I ask God, forgive me. I know I've not represented you very properly. You try to forgive someone that refused to return to come and repent. I'm stopping as I'm speaking now. I won't do it again. You won't carry yourself and repent. Sometimes they'll even be begging you. What do you do? Why do you do it? And you won't repent. Why? How can you make someone repent? The scripture says, if he repents, forgive him. So we owe you that obligation as children of God to forgive those who say, I am sorry. But when you're like, what did I do? May your sin remain with you. The Bible says so. What preempts forgiveness is repentance. There's no provision for forgiveness of unrepented of sin. Where do you come in? You come in when you're the one telling your brother, that thing was wrong. Sister, that thing is wrong. Okay, you're not sure if it's wrong. Matthew 18. Brother, come. Please, come with me. Please, this is what happened between me and him. Tell me, who is he wrong or is he not? Ah, he's wrong now. The Bible says, this one says you're wrong now. The Bible says, you still saying, I can never agree. The Bible says, if he doesn't hear, 2 or 3 of you, tell it to the church. Church, oh, please, there's a problem. There's a problem. We've spoken to this brother. It started with me. Story. And I even told brother A and brother B, he has not agreed. You people, look, is it right? Is it wrong? You speak freely. We are a family. And that's the kind of church we are about to become. How many of you are ready for the next phase? Church is about to upgrade like this. If you want to run, run now. You better start running now. Because you see in this place, the presence of God will dwell here. Oh yes, we shall not be found wanting. We have blocked God. We have blocked God. If you see the river that ought to be flowing, you know what we've been doing with the Holy Spirit. Father, forgive us. There's a time for everything. And a lot of it is my fault. Someone gave me this shirt. I know you're wondering. They say, see, Pastor, you had time to go and make. One of our sisters, I went to him and they gave me in a packet. They said, so and so gave you. How they made it, I do not know. How it came about, I do not know. How they got the picture, I do not know. But behind, if you look, what do you see? GAM. GAM means God's army mobilizing. Someone asked me, what does the logo mean? A sword represents the word. A trumpet represents your voice. The prophetic word, the truth declared. The sword represents the word of God. You know, there's the word of God in you. Then there's the word of you from you. There's a difference. God walks within you to will and to do of his good pleasure, honor his pleasure. Songs of Solomon. Give me that passage. This is the moon shining as bright as the sun. These are stars. The stars represent the sons of God, sons of the kingdom. In the book of Revelation, the woman standing on the moon, around her head are 12 stars. She's clothed in the sun, or the beauty of the sun. And she's standing on the moon because she's not the greater light. She's the lesser light. Jesus is the greater light. Yes? As long as I'm in the world, I'm the light of the world. The sun is to rule by day, and the moon is to rule by night. There's been a lot of nights. The church is having its season. There's a time for us to rule. But the day is coming when there shall be night no more. Because the sun of righteousness will rise with healing in his wings. And that sun can be spelled S-U-N or S-O-N. But the Lord Almighty will be glorious amongst his people. Songs of Solomon 6 verse 10. Who is this who shines like the dawn? As fair as the moon, as bright as the sun, as majestic as the stars in procession. Are you understanding? Have I answered your question? God's army must mobilize. We cannot mobilize when there are people that are not sure whether they feel like fighting or not. God's army, assemble! I don't know. This, you, are you fighting? Yeah, Shay, you pray, are you fighting? You go fight? How? Somebody tell me how. You're still discussing if you fight. This army, I'm not even sure. I've been hearing, sir. I picked the form. I haven't filled it yet. How many of you know you cannot be keeping company with? How many of you know people that are gearing up to go to fight and maybe die in on the way there? And people that are, the form, how form says they say 2 passports. I've not taken picture. But you've been with the form for 1 month. I know. Did you hear the deadline? Well, I leave that thing. It's not easy. Is it easy like that? How many of you know you better find someone that has decided that this person is not, you and them, you're not. They are your family at home. Do you understand? They are still family, but they are home. Are you understanding? There are people you can't keep company with. Evil company corrupts good manners. And in this sense, they are evil because they weaken every bone in your body. And the one who chose to join the army will suddenly become a civilian. And therefore, you're a distraction because they look at the list of soldiers. We have 250 here. And when the time comes, you see only 200 or 150. And there's disappointment because of undecided souls. Don't be too close to brethren. Love them. You know how you love your family when you go home if you're a soldier. If you're a soldier, when you come home, I have 2 weeks to be with you guys. I'll be going back. But the one you're keeping company, walking with, talking with, thinking with, interacting with, sharing material. This video, have you seen it? It has to be someone who is on the same wavelength with you. Yes? Or you become soft. Soldiers live in barracks. They do not live with ordinary civilians. They live and keep company with those that are soldiers. So they wake up in the morning and jog. They do the necessary things. They do it together. That is why the armies of the world separate their soldiers from civilians. They only go to visit civilians. Then you go back to your company. This is the reason many of you have been struggling. You keep company, you stay with civilians. I advise you, from henceforth, you are no more guiltless. I have told you the truth. Major reason you've been struggling is civilian company. And it has made you double-minded. Anyone that refuses to stay in the barracks is not a soldier. Maybe he's a family member of a soldier. If you see people that refuse to stay in the barracks, leave them alone. I've told you, they are your family at home. Visit them once in a while. I don't know how often you get follow. Once in a while, then go back and keep company steadily. You pick your phone. It better be the company of those that are soldiers in thinking that you're keeping. The content you're reading, the things you are watching, it better be the company of soldiers. Because no matter what is said, no matter how many times you come and your commanding officer charges you and you leave and you spend 3 hours with your commanding officers, even 10 hours, then you leave and you spend the next 80 hours with civilians, with poto-poto thinking, with mushy, weak, liverless thinking. Then once in a while, you come and say, what's that song? I left my home to join the army. I left my home. Then you get home. I left the army to join my home. And this one, you sing it 80 hours. You sing this one 4 hours. How is it going to work? Don't you know the simple laws of quantity will overrule? Receive understanding. Amen. Keep company with soldiers. You know you're a weak, pathetic, spineless, spiritual creature. You better find strong-boned beings. Please be calling me when you wake up in the morning. Please, when you're going, be getting ready. When you're about to leave, be calling me. Tell me 1 hour ahead. Please, I beg you. Do not leave me behind. You know, in the army, you don't leave anyone. Please, don't leave me behind. Please. Or you can stay alone. Stay in your corner. Don't worry, this journey is personal. You die personally. You haven't seen in war movies where they are carrying people on the neck, the back. You don't know many people survived just because. Just because of their brother or sister. The only reason they are alive. Who told you it's wrong? That's normal. That's what happens in armies. Carry them on your back. Between two of you, dragging them along. And that's the reason they survive, to see their family. That's the reason they survive, to see their husband, see their wife, see their children, see their parents again. You survive because you kept company with solid people. You're with all of you weak. You fall. As you're falling, three of your friends fall with you. God is punishing you for three or four of you being friends. You didn't check yourself. In fact, God is not punishing you at all. In fact, God is not involved. You are punishing yourself. You looked at weakness A. You looked at weakness B. You weakness C. You said, let's team up together. We. Weakness cubed. You go around life like this. And you see enemy. All of you. You didn't see. You don't. I'm weak. You are stronger. Can we team up? Can we team up? I'm going to show it to you, Nana. The company you keep, change your company completely. Stop being foolish. How long? Aren't you ashamed of yourself? How long? Years have passed like a joke. You're acting as though it's yesterday you came, as if it's 2 weeks ago you arrived. What does it take? You will mourn when the day comes. And may I not be around you to remind you. Keep company with good company. Everything you've been taught from day one was walking away from former company. It's always so. Jesus didn't come. Peter, I know I'm not trying to separate you, you know. Peter, I'm not, John, I'm not trying to separate you from Zebedee. He's a good man. Nathaniel, Thaddeus. I'm not she. It's not Philip. No. Follow me. They walk away. There's always there is a walking away. There must be a walking away. Or you're not a disciple of Jesus Christ. You're a clown. You're nothing of this sort. You believe in him. You get his newsletters. That's all you are. You're not a disciple. Disciples must walk away. Even after you come into the body of Christ, you must walk away. If you don't walk away, you're not a disciple. I say there are gradations. How you started. Oh, three of us, we came together on the same day. We gave our lives to Christ around the same time. All that. If you, with time, you notice one or two of them are not serious like you. You better shift. Oh, you better. In this house, inside this house, if you like, form weakness friendships. Because you haven't learned anything yet. I don't care if the person is your blood brother or sister. See them once in a while. Hi. Oh, now, how was school? All right. Okay, I'm going to so-and-so's room. You don't even have my time. I'm sorry. Now, every time I'm around you, you're talking nonsense. Sorry. Emptiness. You don't strengthen my soul. You weaken it. You don't have to tell them. Just ignore them. Or tell them. You weaken me. You are Delilah to my Samson. What are you doing? I'm around you. You weaken me. Around you, I want to sleep. You give me things to drink that render me senseless. Every time you send a message, it's unedifying. Never do you say, read a good thing. You don't impart strength. So I'm keeping company with those who make me strong. So I can survive. So we can take down this enemy. Because if I prepare well, even though you are weak, my strength may keep you alive. But when I join you and we are weak together, we are finished. You should be thankful that I'm not spending much time with you. Let me go and get weapons training. I'm learning jujitsu. I'm learning judo. I'm learning taekwondo. You, which one can you fight? None. So why are you complaining? Why should I stay with you? That guy teaches me defense maneuvers. If I'm strong, the day trouble comes and we are next to each other, I may be the one to beat up the enemy. We should be weak together, so they will beat us together. And that is me loving you. What kind of love is that? Who wants to be loved like that, surrounded by weakness? This is completely different from a weak brother or sister who also wants to learn how to fight. Then you say, come and see. Andrew said to Peter, is this not the one? Come, seen the Messiah. Did Peter go or did he not? He didn't say, please don't disturb me. That's how you do. All this fishing. As if now only me, they chop the money. He did not drag back Andrew. In case you're not aware, go and read it. Andrew met Jesus first. He called Peter. They were brothers, direct brothers. James and John, identical. They were brothers. They went together. What happens when your brother refuses to come? What happens when your brother refuses to come? You stay back. You call it love, loyalty. You're a fool for doing things like that. Because you're killing everybody. Maybe at least learn how to fight. In the future, we don't hear much about Andrew, but we hear about Peter. He walks down the road and his shadow is doing the miracles. That Peter that went along. Do you know what the person you're carrying along will become? Once in a while, I stand here and the Lord begins, and I'm seeing the future a bit, you know, glimpses, and I'm happy. I'm keeping company with people that will seek things, not, God deliver us from folly. May we know the definition of love. Make changes. I don't know. I think this is my complaint right now. My complaint is when you hear something like that, I say, it's true, and you do absolutely nothing about it. But this is the person that is friendly with me now. Can't you be friendly with people? The Bible says you show yourself friendly if you want friends. You're the one that send a message, ask a question. You reach out. Adjust how you operate. No, I'm going to maintain the same schedule I've always maintained. I'm hoping. You are not a serious soul. They went to Jesus and said, Master, where are you staying? And he said, come and see. To be friends with someone, you stay in your room. And if God is leading, they will come. Clown. I didn't say crown. You don't have a crown, you're a clown. You need white face. Stand up, lazy bones, and carry yourself to their room and sit on the bed and do nothing. Move. Move. Pay transport. Go and be there. Move. How now? You know that this person is always talking Bible. Talking. Is what they run on. You can't be around them. In the past, you've been known for getting tired. Every time a Bible, they go talk. Every time Bible, I beg. Let's be real. Find your mates. Go and be real together with them. And be real. How long have you been real? Look at the fruit of your realness. Emptiness. You're empty. You have been real and real. You've been criticizing that we are unreal. Look at your condition. The proof of the pudding is in the eating. Look at your condition as time has gone on. Look at your state. Look at the state of the ones that you say are unreal. Look at their state. Every one of us has to, I don't know how to express it, wisen up. Because eventually the time will come when all things are clear. Someone had a revelation, I saw it this morning, and someone was complaining about me. And then, in the dream, the person complained about me. Oh, it's an old thing, but I just saw it this morning. I've not had a phone forever. The person was complaining about me to another person that used to complain about me. And they complained about me. Now, I am not really in the picture, in the dream, but in that dream, with time, one of the complainers became old and the other one became wild and was complaining about the one they had complained to. The proof of the thing is that I've always said it. Always. Whether I'm meeting with leaders, I'm meeting with, sometimes I have no argument to argue. I just say, well, let's see. Let time tell us now. Let's give it time. Let's see who turns out better. You see, what you cannot stop is a tree producing fruit according to its kind. So you are right. I am wrong. Since you believe so, let's wait and see. You know, I get disappointed with some people. I would like some people to at least try, prove me wrong by make it. Make it. After I say I'm wrong, you don't still make it. They keep finding you one leg here, one hand there. Pieces. Can't you see me? I'm complete. I'm not going to say I'm wrong, but the proof is that no, you were wrong. Every one of us must go out of our way in spite or despite whatever it is you think is your challenge. Deal with it. And don't be telling people they are wrong when you are not right. I'm not talking about myself. I mean your roommate. I mean your brother or sister. How are you right when it's obvious you're wrong? The proof is in the eating of the pudding. May better cook. But your rice is sand with some rice. I'm a better cook. But when people eat it, it's like they are being punished. Though they are doing frog jump. And people get satisfied quickly every time they eat your food. They get generous. Who wants? You still, what are you looking for? Huh? People are kind. They like being kind when you cook. It's not kindness. There's no, it's not the Spirit of God that came on the food. It's, the food no sweet. Let me just tell you openly. Now, if this has happened to anybody, and I hope it has not, all you need to do, like all wise people, is confess your sin, acknowledge your wrong, present yourself for help. Two are better than one. Sister, so I hear you can cook very well. Please, I'm a terrible cook. Help me. If you can't pronounce terrible, just say, I want to cook better. If you don't, can't open your mouth and acknowledge the word better, since you're already the best. Just say, I just like watching you cook. However you will do it, be around someone that is cooking, whose food you have noticed that when people eat, they are selfish. A sign of good cooking is people get selfish, greedy, gluttonous. They eat more than they should eat. It's a result of good cooking. And God will forgive that. When you cook, everybody is, don't worry, I'll buy something else. There's rice in the pot, though. It's like people didn't hear. Why do you go and buy biscuit? I said there's rice in the pot. And I just feel like taking something light. Waste your time being angry. Go and learn how to cook before a man falls into your trap. Men, do you agree? That level of support is not easily got. I will be pining for his mother. A married man pining for his mother's home. Purposely dropping the children there. Let mama take care of them. Don't quote me. The pastor said you shouldn't, you should leave father and mother. Don't quote me. Don't quote me at all. I'm not on your side. Every time he goes to pick the children, he eats lunch. Be wondering. It's like the love. It's a, repent, repent, repent. Repent to family meeting. Hey, by the way, I hope you guys remember you're supposed to be learning. I hope you know you're not going to learn how to cook 5 months to your wedding. There's no such foolishness. It's not done. You have to be cooking for years to be good. To be good, you must do the thing for years. Understand that people have been cooking since they were 9 years old, 10, to be good. All those crazy plans. If you're here, sister, market is still a problem. I don't know if you're a part of God's house. Remember when the time comes, I will not forget again. Oh. I will not forget. I've warned you. Don't say I didn't tell you. Say, oh no, if it's when I had money. Do it now that you don't have money. Small, small. Start cooking. Cook. Cook different kinds. Say, no, it's only these 3 things. Me, it's rice I like. Rice is not among the things you cook as your marriage preparation class. So, did I say you cook rice? Any chicken can cook. Sorry, any chick can cook rice. Sorry, can eat rice. As you're laughing, remember, I don't know if you remind yourself. How many of you have been reminding yourselves? Raise your hand. How many of you have been pushing your brother, your sisters especially, to cook? Have you seen these 5, 6 hands? Only. Put down your hands. See, when you hear they postpone the wedding, don't ask any plenty question. I say, pastor say you're not marry them. Go. They are Catholic priests every day. They are people that will marry you. In Catholic priests won't even marry you because you have to get baptized first or something. Yeah. That's a side note, but remember the side note. So you don't say you were not told. Let me finish the Lord Jesus and give the scripture for some of the things I've already just said. As the weeds are collected and burned in the fire, so will it be at the end of the age. The Son of Man will send out his angels, and they will weed out of his kingdom every cause of sin and all who practice lawlessness. Like making soup, you practice causing sin. Like making soup, you practice lawlessness. Lawlessness is not an action. It is an approach to life. There's a law. I'll not do it. You know, the other time we had a wedding, I said, everyone come out 1 hour before time. Some of you didn't come out to pray. But you wed. And I would say they should gather to pray ahead for a wedding. Do you expect people to come out? Do you need prayers? Be careful in this world, though. Be very careful in this world. See this world? Be careful inside it. Till we die and go to heaven, or the kingdom comes to the earth. Be careful. That time, there will be no hurt or harm in all God's holy mountains. So if you fall on a sharp rock, you will not have a wound. You will not be in pain. Now, be careful. Be careful about what you do, what you say, how you act, how you respond to things. So if I give an instruction over and over again, make sure you come. Make sure you casually didn't come. And you were in Uyo. Of course, even the people in Ikoyi Peninsula have arrived an hour earlier. Were you here? You arrived. You were at the place. Ikoyi Peninsula. Awesome. Good people. I won't talk about you people. The shame is too much. I'm still ashamed. You know, how many of you know I feel shame deeply? You don't. I feel shame deeply. Oh. That Frank Spencer, I was talking yesterday as a child. I watched. And it was one movie. Towards the end of the movie, he had not done any mighty thing. I kept wondering, what kind of Frank Spencer movie is this? And as they showing the credits, people's names at the end, he was greeting people. Hello? Goodbye. Hello? Goodbye. I still remember. I was around 10 years old. Hello? Goodbye. Hello? And he was wearing a Scottish kilt. You know, the skirt men in from Scotland wear. Hello? Goodbye. His skirt fell off. Wow. I was not wearing anything under. I jumped out from the front of the TV. I was, oh God. Not because, I was also ashamed. I don't know. The shame entered me like this. What kind of man is this? And I understood why he had not broken anything for the last 10 minutes or 15 minutes. They keep it for the very end. I feel shame sometimes. Be careful. Be careful. And you better learn to repent. From this season going forward, I've said it. You don't repent. You're just on your own. All this praying for forgiveness for people who are saying, what did I do? God, give me grace to stop. God, Jesus didn't do it. Except on the cross, you hear him say, Father, forgive me. They don't know what. I've taught you to forgive people. But I mean you. You're a child of God. Those are blind, deaf, spiritually blind people. You that has been told. That's why here he said, your brother. These are the brethren. These ones know. Wasn't talking at that time to people who knew. So as he knelt down, Father, forgive them. Lord, lay not this charge against them. Those were blind people. As they stoning Stephen, they don't understand. There's something on them that they don't understand. But you that understands fully, you know clearly, you've been told, when this happens, apologize. You refuse to apologize. Why? It's you I'm talking about. You're on your own. Learn to repent. I found out that when you forgive people without the acknowledging, when you say, I forgive you, and they go like, for what? Whether they say it out or in their hearts, it never lasts. And we damage them. It's like spoiling a child irrevocably. That's what happens. It doesn't work. They will keep causing problems for you over and over again and will never seem to know how to repent. That's something I have proven. So this forced forgiveness, you know, I was praying for the blood to come on people, because hoping sometimes the blood will open your eyes, open things. How many of you saw the blood when I was praying? I was hoping we have time and ask someone to, all those people to share, you know, but let's see. But just know, the blood of Jesus is available. But it's available to those who come to collect it. That someone prays for you and forces and says, because Jesus said to me, whoever, whose sins you remit, it's in the Bible. I remitted. So I try to remit people's sins by force. But that's what I'm talking about. I'm going to reduce those kinds of things. People need to open their mouth and acknowledge their guilt. I found that every time when you help people, kind of forced help, later on, they throw it away. They don't know the value of it. They don't know the value. They can't appreciate it. They got it for free when they didn't even understand why. Money acquired like that is lost. But when you know what it means to hustle for something, let people come before the Lord and ask for help. Seek mercy and forgiveness. Then they can appreciate it more. Him who is forgiven much, loves much. Can you be forgiven when you've sinned much and you don't even understand or agree that you have sinned? Those who practice lawlessness, who have a habit of being lawless, your King James says iniquity. I've explained it many times to you. It's a practice of not being under law. God's lighthouse. God's lighthouse. Lawlessness, iniquity is not subjecting yourself to laws. That's why I fight these teachings on there's no law. I've showed you in the Bible that Paul said that grace upholds the law. It doesn't throw it down and throw it away. It upholds it. It upholds it. Jesus was clear. I didn't come to abolish the law, but to fulfill it. Fill it full. Bring it to its complete state. I didn't come to break down this lectern. I came to restore it, to lift it up and keep it in its right place. He came to write the law of God in our hearts. That is the new covenant. I didn't come to throw the law out of your heart. I came to establish it in a place where Moses cannot break it. That is the new covenant. Hebrews 10. God's law, written in your heart, immovable, unchangeable. Is it Hebrews 10 or Hebrews 8? Stays there. So that you are a walking, living epistle, read by men. When they look at you, he does not have any other God besides God. He does not steal. She does not kill. She does not tell, bear false witness. She, you are a living epistle. Not to discard it. He summarized it. Love your neighbor as yourself. Summary of the law. This is where we are. Lawlessness is the exact opposite of being a Christian under the new covenant. And people are Jesus help. Listen to me. Every inclination in your life to be lawless. Next verse. All who practice lawlessness and every cause of sin will be weeded out of his kingdom, and they will throw them into the fiery furnace where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. 1 Corinthians 3 says that everyone will be tried by fire. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. It's fire that is your future if you are lawless. You better not be lawless. And how do you practice not being lawless, but being lawful? practice obeying simple instructions and it will make you come to a place where you obey the laws of God. Everyone that has a struggle with obeying simple instructions. I don't know which world you live in. I don't know who gets perfect without practice. It is the practice of obeying. Oh, what did you say? Everyone should stand up and you jump up. Everyone should send a message to at least three people, encouraging them to be in church tomorrow. A practice of hearing things and doing something about it. Now, those may not be laws. They are simple instructions, even suggestions. But you formed a practice of responding to such things. What it does to you is that when a law is in existence, no, the traffic light is red. You don't move. See now, look at what they wrote there. Don't drive faster than the speed limit. Don't throw. Look at this road now. There are children that may cross. I beg, leave me. I'm in a hurry. No. Be lawful. Didn't you hear, pastor gave an instruction that everybody should say, I beg, leave me. I'm tired. You see that thing in you? That's why you don't watch it. There's a fiery furnace being heated up that you will partake in. Of course, if you're in God's house, you should understand what that means. You don't say, no, oh, wow. Are you saying, oh, wow, I lost my Christianity? No. Just that you pass through a fiery furnace on your way to the kingdom. And sometimes this fire is revealed in this age in different ways. 2 years of wilderness is completely different from 40 years. Let your processes be nicer. Then the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. All this long talk I'm talking, hear how Jesus said his own. He who has ears, let him hear. That's how Jesus just told his story. Me, look, I've dragged it for 1 hour. And say, he who has ears, let him hear. I moved on. He who has ears, let him hear. If you have ears, hear. Tell your neighbor, he who has ears, let him hear.
He who has ears, let him hear.
Face the other neighbor and say it too.
He who has ears, let him hear.
Say it this way. Say, you better have ears and hear. Do it while there's time. I don't know if getting personal. Sometimes I try to prophetically hit specific things. Well, I don't really try, but it comes. You know, it's a matter of the time you give it. I don't know if, because I always hope that the Holy Spirit will speak to specific people where they are, that he knows. But a time may come when there's no such opportunity to get personal type sounding preaching. So while you have the time, respond. Stop hoping for your own special season. Judges 15. So many things. The Holy Spirit. Ah. 300 is a number. No, Enoch was 300 years, 65 years. And then he got to know the Lord. Became the father of Methuselah. And after he became, Genesis 5, 21, 22. When Enoch was 65 years, he became the father of Methuselah. And after he had become the father of Methuselah, Enoch walked with God 300 years and had other sons and daughters. 300 years. The son, Methuselah, whose name has been translated to mean, when he goes, it shall come. And Methuselah died in the year that the flood came. His name was given prophetically far ahead. When he goes, it shall come. From that time, Enoch walked with God 300 years. At the 300 year marker, God took him Are you listening? Note the number. Note the number. Temaka. But after a while, in the time of wheat harvest, Samson visited his wife with a young goat and said, I will go to my wife in a room. But her father did not let him enter. Her father said, I really thought that you hated her intensely, so I gave her to your companion. Is not her younger sister more beautiful than she? Please let her be yours instead. Samson then said to them, this time I shall be blameless in regard to the Philistines when I do them harm. Samson went and caught 300 foxes and took torches and turned the foxes tail to tail and put one torch in the middle between the two tails. When he had set fire to the torches, he released the foxes into the standing grain of the Philistines, thus burning up both the shocks and the standing grain, along with the vineyards and the groves. How many of you are about to be foxes with fire between your tails? It's either the devil sends his foxes with fire between their tails into our field, or God sends us with fire between our tails into the devil's field. You better choose one. To burn or to be burned is the question. Let me say it the way I had it first. God is about to send us out in different directions, in different ways. The assignment is to burn down the enemy's installation, his fields, the lies he has planted must be burned. The growth that he is sustained by, the things that sustain the kingdom of the devil, the enemy of our soul, the lies, the falsehoods, the things that give them energy to keep oppressing us must be brought down in different sectors. The scripture tells you, they didn't just, listen, the fire burned the one they had harvested and kept. It burned the one that was still growing. It burned their vineyards. And it burned their groves, which could be olive groves or different plants. Their sources of sustenance were set on fire. As those who will be caught by the Lord, like foxes. What do little foxes do? They destroy the vine. Can I suggest to you that you can be a little fox and destroy the vine of the devil? Deuteronomy 32 says that their vine is the poison of snakes. She'll show you. Verse 32. Deuteronomy 32:32. For their vine is from the vine of Sodom and from the fields of Gomorrah. Their grapes are grapes of poison. Their clusters bitter. Their wine is the venom of serpents and the deadly poison of cobras. This is enemy vine. So when you read that Samson's foxes burnt up their vineyards, it's a blessed and wonderful thing. How many of you are willing to burn down the enemy's vineyards? Bring down the things from where they generate their lies and falsehood and wickedness. As God pairs you up with others, as God gives you partners Some will be in marriage. May you never forget why you are paired up. Some will be just for ministry. Some will be people you team up with in at different seasons, weekly, monthly, yearly, and carry out burning expeditions where you will go out with fire between your tails. What does a fire between a fox's tail make them do? It makes them act wildly. They are desperate. There's fire behind you. He tied a torch, something that burns with fire, took a rope, tied it very tight, and forced these two foxes to be together. And he sent them out two by two into every city where he would come. Then he tell him, Luke 12, that he came to start a fire, and how constrained he felt. Who do you think Samson is? And he sends them out two by two. Read the scriptures, for in it you think you have life, but it is it that testifies of me. Who said that? The picture of the Lord Jesus shown in Samson's life, like all multiple characters throughout scripture, the judges and all, is the one who sets people on fire. And you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes, and you shall be my witnesses. And out they went, spreading the truth. And when the day of Pentecost came, it was a sound of a mighty rushing wind, and as split cloven, split tongues of fire sat on them. Split. Why was it split? Two. Cloven hoofs, a goat. Cloven. Split. God equips us. Two, but one. To go together, because two are better than one. To go together. To fight the enemy. Our job many times is just to run wildly. Just go out in his name. As we obey and go, because there's a fire behind us, not because we are carefully saying, let's set this fire, let's set the fire. No, if there's a fire on you, when you enter, where you pass through, you will leave fire behind. Remember, the funny thing is, as they get there, the place will be on fire. They don't want to be there. They themselves, they want to run out of there so they will not be burned by it. You see Paul go to a place. Sometimes 1 week, you go to another place. 2 weeks, you go. 3 weeks. 1 month. 2 months. Here, there, 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 there. Setting the world on fire. The way the people said, they said, these men who have turned the world upside down have come here also. And you know what fire does? Now it creates crackling. If there are cockroaches or mice, they will come running out. Demons will react. They don't want fire. The fire is about to be lit. Are you ready? When God assigns you a person or two or three, a team, whatever group, to go, some of you will be online a lot. You have to remember the assignment. If you forget it, that fire will start burning you. If God sends you somewhere, take the truth out. Go. Spread it. I want everywhere to burn. Go into the places where they are. Go to their standing grain. Go to the one that is still growing fresh. Go to that place. It's a school. Go to that place. It's an online group. and they are just beginning to grow. Young atheists, confused. Put yourself in the middle and start burning. Set the place on fire. I'm talking about that some of you will, the Lord will clarify these things, see. Apart from other assignments you have, some of you will have 4, 5, 6 hours daily, some 10, some 15 hours. Your job will be such, they think that place you are is where you're working. They don't know that's not where you work. It's where you go out to. Free Wi-Fi. You sit down. And all you do is burn things. You enter here, you're burning. You enter here, you're burning. It's a YouTube channel, you're crossing. Comment section, you're here, you're there. And it's steady. Some of you will be in the shocks, the old ones that have been harvested and kept old. You enter there, you set it on fire. Some of you will head into their vineyard where they generate the poison wine. Where they generate it. In prayer, you upend their vats. You throw things into their lives. It will change the taste of everything. You ask 3 questions. And nobody will talk again. Sorry, if this is so, what about this? Okay. So if this, they think you're an innocent questioner. A number is beneath and people are saying, sorry, that thing you asked on that group is true. Me, I've always wondered. You don't get confused as to why you're there. So it is time to go. That fire that will come on your tails is not for you to sit and use it and selfishly start thinking, how can I benefit from this? It has nothing to do with you. It's the kingdom of God, which God is lighting on you to result in the judgment of the works of Satan. Is this clear? So every chance you have, when the Lord catches you and begins to tie that torch, because that's a lot of what has been happening in this house. The Lord has been catching you, joining you, and tying a torch around your tails. At some point, He's going to light a fire on it, and that will be the signal to go! When you go, don't be confused. Don't be sad. Why this fire? God, why this fire in my life? God, have I not saved you? Why this fire? Don't be foolish. Don't embarrass me before the angels. The only reason for the fire is for the destruction of the works of Satan. Understand what the motivation, the fire is called motivation. It's what makes you run crazily. It's what makes you go to your left and to your right. It's what drives you. That wild passion and zeal and excitement that you're finding. Don't let it go down. If one of the foxes, your partner, slows down, says that you're not serious, you want this in the bonus, you keep running. You see the beauty of being tied together as you run. If he doesn't want to come or she doesn't, you'll be dragged along. When we are praying, make sure you pray for God to show you your partners. So whether you are partners, some of you will be partnered. You know what I mean? You're going to be told, you and you, go. You and you, do. You, I want a team. Who are the people? Good. One, you walk together. Whatever it is you're told to do, do it with all your might. If God sends you to Facebook, You're not there to see your alma mater. See, there's nothing. This is where the problems are. But the grace of God will be upon you and keep you from falling. Some of you, God cannot send you to some places. He will not. Then those of you that love to do things illegally, you are not sent, but you ran. Have you read? Did I share that the other day? These prophets ran, but I did not send them. How do you know they didn't send you? What happened the last time you went? The unction of Samson is about to come in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
That unction will set us on fire. As you run, you will burn down the enemy of God's people. The enemies of God's people, those that have held them in bondage, their produce will be destroyed in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Finally, for now, the book of Judges, still. Chapter 7. Watch. Then Jerubbaal, that is Gideon, that was his name, Jerubbaal, and all the people who were with him rose early and camped beside the spring of Harod. And the camp of Midian was on the north side of them by the hill of Moreh in the valley. Do you know how the Midianites were? How many they were? Who knows? Let me show you. Chapter 6, verse 1. Then the sons of Israel did what was evil in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord gave them into the hands of Midian 7 years. The power of Midian prevailed against Israel. Because of Midian, the sons of Israel made for themselves the dens, which were in the mountains, and the caves, and the strongholds. For it was when Israel had sown, that's planted, that the Midianites would come up with the Amalekites and the sons of the east, and go against them when they would plant. So they will camp against them and destroy the produce of the earth as far as Gaza and leave no sustenance in Israel, as well as no sheep, ox, or donkey. For they would come up with their livestock and their tents. They would come in like locusts for number. Both they and their camels were innumerable, and they came into the land to devastate it. So Israel was brought very low because of Midian, and the sons of Israel cried to the Lord. Should I read? Now it came to pass, when the sons of Israel cried to the Lord on account of Midian, that the Lord sent a prophet to the sons of Israel, and he said to them, "Thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, it was I who brought you up from Egypt and brought you out from the house of slavery. I delivered you from the hands of the Egyptians and from the hands of all your oppressors, and dispossessed them before you, and gave you their land. And I said to you, I am the Lord your God. You shall not fear the gods of the Amorites in whose lands you live. But you have not obeyed me. So I brought you out. I delivered you from all your oppressors. I dispossessed them. You oppressed and took over. Delivered you from Egypt, gave you the land of the Canaanites. I did that. You saw it. All of you have experienced God's power in some